Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the LA Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And I'm Leo. And tonight we have a special guest is Larry Dorman from the ASME Union. And we also have, we've got a special report from John Brennan on chemtrails. He was just in...
New York.
Yeah. And...
There was a hearing on chemtrails.
Yeah.
And I think he was at that hearing, is that correct?
Yeah. Yes, he was. And this was in Suffield County, I believe. And I'm just going to go to that.
Down on Long Island.
Yeah. It's kind of important to read that. I have a special article on that. There it is. There somewhere.
Down toward the bottom.
I will get it for you in a second. Yeah, here it is. Suffield County, New York, to hear proposal to ban chemtrails. Now, this was today.
Why don't you go to that?
And John's got a report on this tonight, so I thought I might just read this article quickly to you. But he was down there at the New York Suffield County government. In their town hall down there,
I don't know which town it was.
Suffolk County, New York, Suffolk County.
Yeah. Well, he didn't say what town. Yeah. It just said Suffolk.
So
County.
Anyway, I don't know. God damn it! Looks like it doesn't look like. Here we go. We gotta coax this stuff tonight. One thing I did notice about this website, though, is that it's a little, a few quirks to it.
That's it?
It'll come up. It's kind of strange. What's wrong with this? Okay. Can't display website. For some reason, the website is taken down already.
No, it wasn't taken down. It just... wasn't coming up
properly. Oh, something happened.
Try it again.
All right. So, anyway, let me read this quickly.
You have this one right here.
What?
Which is the same article.
No, it isn't. What are you talking about?
Is that on chemtrails as well? There was two right in a row.
No.
Okay.
This is one of the first public hearings in the U.S. on banning chemtrails. And, heard by Randy Anata, this one in Activist Post, today. New York Suffolk County government will hold a public hearing on a proposal to ban aerial spraying of aluminum oxide, barium sulfur, and other salts into the air over the county without first filing an environmental impact statement. It's really kind of interesting because... what's happened is we are, county government will hold a public hearing on the proposal to ban aerosol spraying of aluminum oxide, barium sulfur, and other salts into the air over the county without first filing an environmental impact statement and receiving approval from the county's Department of Health Services Division of Environmental Quality. Exempted from the proposal ban are aerosol spraying operations for agriculture and Lyme disease. The hearing will be held at the Riverhead Legislative Auditorium, E.K. Griffin Building, Center Drive in Riverhead, New York. And it happened at 2:30 today, which John attended, John Brennan. And he's going to report some on that. And next week, he's putting together a group of speeches that were made. He said they were all excellent speeches, and he's going to do that. So the article is quite long. I don't want to get into all of it tonight, and I'll have John talk a bit about what happened tonight. He'll be doing a report coming around 9 o'clock. So, but it was quite a thing. All right, so that's coming up tonight. And our next, our first guest will be Larry Dorman. And he will be talking about the... is doing a recall of Governor Scott Walker down in out in Wisconsin. And there was a major push by AFSCME to sign up 500,000 people.
I hope people remember what he did for the union.
Of course, it's been... this will be one of the first governors to be recalled, except in California.
Right.
And, of course, they recalled in Wisconsin, they recalled five, I think, out of six Republican state senators.
Yep.
And they were trying to recall the Senate, the Republican senator, right, who won against Feingold. And so it's really getting interesting out there. Plus, we want to follow up and see what's happening with the Red Cross strike and how that's turning out or turned out. And so that's going to be Larry Dorman's going to be with us tonight at 8:30. Between now and then, I've got something. If anybody's heard about the great Newt freaking Gingrich, okay, who is way ahead in the polls now in Iowa, and it looks like he may be the GOP candidate. Let's listen to a quick YouTube thing on him and the kind of crap that he is. The name of the video is called The Serial Hypocrisy.
I think this is the core challenge of America, is that beyond the words is a real question of policy and a real question of values and a real question of seriousness. The real question of policy.
We don't always see eye to eye, do we, Newt?
No, but we do agree our country must take action to address climate change.
Newt Gingrich has been on both sides of a long list of issues, sometimes in the same week.
I don't think right-wing social engineering is any more desirable than left-wing social engineering.
With allies like that, who needs the left?
It cuts Paul Ryan off at the knees. It supports the Obama administration. There is no explanation for it.
And a real question of value. Question of value.
You want to put people in jail? Let's look at the politicians who created the environment, the politicians who profited from the environment, politicians who profited from the environment.
Newt Gingrich on the defense for taking $1.5 million
after he left Congress. Freddie Mac paid Gingrich at least $1.6 million.
$1.6 million, some of it just before the housing market collapsed. Newt Gingrich can ridicule Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac publicly while privately pocketing millions.
That's hardcore lobbying, and that's what Newt Gingrich was doing.
Politicians who profited from the environment.
There are now reports about controversial ties to the healthcare industry.
A think tank founded by Newt Gingrich collected at least $37 million from major healthcare companies, and the group supports individual mandates.
Newt Gingrich renewed his support for an individual mandate, a key tenet of President Obama's healthcare law.
Support for an individual mandate? Folks, don't ask me to explain this.
And a real question, a serious question.
Everything that Gingrich railed against when he was in the House, he went the other way when he got paid to go the other way.
You're an embarrassment to our party.
He's flipped and flopped based on who's paying him.
He's demonstrating himself to be the very essence of the Washington insider.
It's about serial hypocrisy.
It's wrong to go around and adopt radically different positions, because then people have to ask themselves, what will you tell me next time?
Interesting that was put out by the Ron Paul campaign. But, and Ron Paul outright called him a complete hypocrite in public, So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We also got, I thought this was an interesting one. Palin, Sarah Palin, was guilty of major Ethics Act violations. She must return $386,000 in contributions.
Huh?
Yeah. Excuse me. Nearly a year after she quit her governorship of Alaska, Sarah Palin was found guilty today of another breach of Alaska Executive Branch Ethics Act involving her so-called Alaska Trust Fund.
Huh.
Yeah. So you want to read any of this?
Sure.
Let's see. Plus, I've got, before we go away tonight, I want to play this six-minute video by John Lennon. Also, I wanted to mention THC from cannabis marijuana oil destroys leukemia and cancer cells. Mm-hmm. Interesting, huh?
Well, we've been reading things like that regularly.
But this one's new. That one just came out today. All right. What would you like to read there, darling?
I would like to read the 10 reasons about Obama chopping down civil liberties. That's on David Icke's site.
Okay. Chaos on the streets of America.
Yeah, that
I wanted to read too. Oh, SEC employees watching porn at work were making over $200K a year.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were very well paid.
Yeah. Patriot Act uses used for drugs and not terrorism.
That's a good one. Let's put that one on.
Yeah. And this one here really was really disturbing, too. Shopping at midnight. 46 million Americans now receive food assistance. And Walmart opens up at midnight in some states.
Yeah, right. They just wait there on the,
yeah, but at midnight,
on the first, of the, for the,
yeah,
first of the month.
Right. And also, Soros, destroying America will be the culmination of my life's work, he says so proudly. And let's see. Oh, yeah. State wants martial law. Senate wants martial law in America. Alex Jones on Russian TV. And let's see. Hungary destroys all Monsanto GMO cornfields.
I had seen that.
I was proud of that. Yes, Obama appoints Monsanto man as FDA food safety czar.
Yeah.
That's always good.
I read about that last year.
Yeah. And Pentagon is offering free military hardware to every police department in the United States.
I know.
Oh, you are so smart. How do you know? You must read these, huh?
Yes.
Lila previews this stuff before it goes on the air. Okay. So, anyway, I was just giving you a brief rundown of what to expect tonight. And one of the worst things, I think, one of the horrible things I want to talk about tonight was this, not only the civil liberties aspect, but this here, supplements set to become illegal in 2012.
Yeah, they've done that in Europe, I think.
I don't know if they've done it in Europe. No, I don't think so.
I did read something.
I know they've been working on it, but they haven't done it yet.
Can't even see with these glasses. Let me get my other
one.
Just
okay.
Hold on, folks.
Okay, I'll start reading. It's a little longer. Supplements set to become illegal in 2012 under FDA. The fascist drug addicts are at it hot and heavy right now, criminalizing supplements that have been safely on the market for years.
Contact your government reps and let them know you will not stand for this. The FDA issued new rules that, if enacted, will enable them to ban many of the supplements you are now taking. Think I'm exaggerating? Then please listen to the full story. Back in the early 1990s, the FDA tried to make many supplements illegal. Consumers were so alarmed by the FDA's bullying that they staged a massive revolt. The result was Congress passed the Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act. That law protected supplements from the FDA unless the FDA could prove a supplement wasn't safe. There was, however, a loophole in the 1995 law. The FDA was given the authority to regulate new ingredients introduced after October 15, 1994. So what happened? Nothing at first. For 17 years, the FDA took no action, gave no guidance, and launched no enforcement of these new dietary ingredients. And that's been a good thing, because for 17 years, the dietary supplement industry has enjoyed tremendous innovation. These innovations have allowed us to extract and concentrate the most effective natural ingredients. As a result, millions of consumers have benefited. They've protected their hearts and arteries, found relief from joint pain, boosted their memory, and more. And during this time, supplements have enjoyed a remarkable safety record. Statistics show that supplements are safer than prescription drugs, cosmetics, medical devices, and even food. According to the Poison Control Centers, there were zero deaths due to supplements in 2008. In 2009, there was just one. Meanwhile, pathogens like E. coli food kill at least 2,000 people each year. Acetaminophen in drugs like Tylenol kills 450 people every year, and more powerful prescription drugs kill many more. Even the FDA now says Vioxx likely killed over 26,000 people before they took it off the market. Supplements the FDA wants to ban. But now the FDA wants to act like the last 17 years never happened. The agency has drafted a proposal to regulate what it calls new dietary ingredients. If this proposal is implemented, some of the most effective nutrients you take will be pulled from the market. Nutrients like resveratrol, ubiquinol, COQ10, bicalcopa, strontium, and more. That's not all. Under these guidelines, the FDA can define almost anything as a new dietary ingredient. For example, if a supplement includes more of an ingredient than when used 17 years ago, even something like vitamin C, it's considered new. If an ingredient uses a different extraction process like baking or fermentation, it's new. If a supplement uses an ingredient at a different life stage, such as using ripe rather than non-ripe apples, it's new. If a supplement duplicates an ingredient in a laboratory rather than extracting it from food, even though it's chemically identical, it's new. And if a probiotic formula includes a strain of bacteria that wasn't found in yogurt 17 years ago, it's new. So what would happen to all these new ingredients? The manufacturers would have to take them off the market until they can prove the ingredients are safe, even if those ingredients have been safe over the last 17 years. Why it's nearly impossible to comply? What kind of proof is the FDA demanding? According to the guidelines, many companies would have to conduct animal studies using a dosage that is 1,000 times the typical dose. I'm not kidding you. It's right there in black and white on the FDA website. The FDA wants vitamins makers to do studies for a full year at 1,000 times the typical dose. So a fish oil manufacturer would have to conduct a one-year study where animals are force-fed the human equivalent of 240,000 milligrams of fish oil every day. That outlandish dose would injure the animals and give the FDA an excuse to outlaw the product. But wait, it gets even better. If one fish oil manufacturer performs such a study in the past, it doesn't mean that other fish oil manufacturers can use the same data. No, sir. They are still required to go out and do their own studies before they're allowed to sell their product. And these studies are very expensive. A study like the one above typically costs about $100,000 to $200,000 to perform. Multiply that by several thousand ingredients and several products, and you get the idea of the cost. Say a company carries six products containing six ingredients each. It would cost them between $3.6 and $7.2 million in studies before the company could even offer the product for sale. For a larger company offering 50 products or more, the cost would be astronomical. Few supplement makers will be able to afford these studies, and many will be put out of business. And the ones that remain would still be at the mercy of the FDA's whim. That's because there are no requirements for the FDA to approve anything. They can approve or reject anything they want, and in the past they've rejected the majority of ingredients submitted to them.
That means most of the nutrients you buy today will be pulled from the market and never return. Those that do return will be a lot more expensive and many only be available as prescription drugs. A blatant abuse of power. This is a blatant abuse of power. And what the FDA is doing here is performing an end run around the existing law. According to the law, the FDA has to prove a dietary supplement is unsafe for it to be taken off the market. These new guidelines turn that on its head. They are clearly not what Congress intended. Unfortunately, these FDA guidelines have not been finalized. Federal agencies are required to give the public an opportunity to comment on a draft before it is made final. In this case, the FDA has given interested parties until December 1st to comment on the draft. Well, that's a little too late.
Yeah.
And that means there's a small window of opportunity for you to voice your disapproval. Well, it's obviously it's not now. So that's it. You know, you can still, you know, contact the FDA. You know,
best way to contact your congressman.
Yeah, ours in Connecticut is Murphy and Larson and whatever her name is, DeLaRosa. But you know, this is the nightmare that we're dealing with here. So folks, get the facts. You know, check this out, and you can check this out at Food Freedom. Go to foodfreedom.com, I guess. Check it out. All right. I wanted people to get a chance to hear this before I bring on our guest.
Well, why don't you do that?
It's John Lennon's famous words of wisdom. And it's about 6 minutes. But here we go. It's John Lennon's famous words of wisdom.
Society is run by insane people for insane objects and objectives.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I sussed when I was 16 and 12, way down the line. But I expressed it differently all through my life. It's the same thing I'm expressing all the time. But now I can put it into that sentence that I think we're being run by maniacs for maniacal ends. You know, if anybody can put on paper what our government and the American government, etc., and the Russian, Chinese, what they are actually trying to do, you know, and how what they think they're doing, I'd be very pleased to know what they think they're doing. I think they're all insane. You know, but I'm liable to be put away as insane for expressing that. You know, that's what's insane about it.
Every country's had a violent revolution for one reason or the other. Not one of them has the freedom we're all talking about. So we're saying give peace a chance. You know, like nobody's ever done it before. And it's not a matter of, we're not thinking in terms of 10 years, we're thinking in terms of peace forever, you know. And everybody's talking about now, I want peace now, we can get peace now if we want it now. And the left wing talk about giving the power to the people. You know, anybody knows that the people have the power. All we have to do is awaken the power in the people. The people are unaware. It's like they're not educated to realize that they have power. They put the politicians in power. They vote for the local mayor. The people do it. But the system is so geared that everybody believes that just the father will fix everything. The father being the government. Government will fix everything. It is all government's fault. You know, shake a fist at the government. Well, we are the government. The people are the government, the people have the power, but we must try and make them aware of this. And Yoko was telling me about this great old ancient Chinese book, which tells you how to fight the battle, you know. And it says, the battle is always lost within the castle, you know, like America's falling within, not from within, from the commies coming.
Yeah.
It's falling apart inside. And this book on how to fight the good fight says that never have every door shut. The enemy then will... Everybody's going to come round and attack. But if you leave one door open, you know where they're going to come in. And then you get them.
So intuitively, we're doing that. And we leave a door open. They're so busy shouting about haircuts and genitals and naked and long hair that they concentrate their ammunition there. We know where it comes from, and we get on with the job of selling and or doing whatever we're doing.
Yeah.
And I believe that. You leave the door open, man, and that's where the door they'll come in, you know.
As a Beatle, we made it. And there was nothing to do. We had money. We had fame. And there was no joy. And then I met Yoko. And she was making it as an avant-garde artist. And we both tried to find something we had in common, a common goal in life, because we couldn't, she couldn't rock and roll with me and I couldn't avant-garde with her. I mean, we can, but that's what we thought at the time. So we decided the thing we had in common was love, and from love came peace. So we decided to work for world peace.
And how do you do that?
We do it by the advertising method. We believe that today's society, advertising is the thing politicians use and commercial companies use, the Beatles use it, John and Yoko should use it. Our product is peace.
Of less words and more peace. Like, the only way to do it is Gandhi's way. And that's non-violent, passive, positive, or whatever they call it those days.
We're selling it like soap, you know. And you've got to sell and sell until the housewife thinks, oh, well, it's peace or war. That's the two products. Peace.
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 Peace in your mind. Peace on earth. Peace at work. Peace at home. Peace in the world.
It's to try and get people orientated to think peace, like eat for peace, breathe for peace, and dance for peace, and make love for peace, you know? To just have the peace like a mantra going round and round in your head. War is a game that's gone too far, you know. It's just like we've all just woken up one morning and thought, is it a dream? Is it a nightmare? What's been going on? And we're all just trying to make the next day a bit better.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to waste all this film on our face, do we?
We specifically did the poster event around the world for Christmas to try and get at least one plug-in for peace on earth at Christmas, because that's what it's about. And happy birthday, Christ, you know, is what it's about.
If you had one wish for Christmas time, what would it be?
Peace. Peace on earth.
And love.
Peace on earth. That implies no violence, no starving children, no violent minds, no violent households, no violence, no frustration, no fear. If the house, some housewife is against war, just put it in the window, you know, just to let her neighbors know or her husband know. You know, you've got to start on the home ground by convert your parents.
We think we have the right to have a say in the future. And we think the future is made in your mind. It says it, you know, war is over if you want it.
But that really, the guy was right on about it all, you know, with that.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think so.
We had a big time.
I do think so. And what we're going to do now, it's all right with you, we're going to go, I'm going to give Larry a call, and he's on the road right now. He said to call him on his cell
phone. Traveling, huh?
Yep. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to take a second here. Hopefully he'll be able to answer.
So we're going to talk to him about Wisconsin, what's happening there.
Yeah.
A Red Cross strike.
That's right.
If the union made any impact on that. See if we can get a hold of Larry. Work.
You've reached the voicemail of Larry Dorman, Council 4, Public Affairs. Please leave your name, number, and a brief message, and I'll get back to you as soon as possible. Thanks.
At the tone, hey, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
It's Lila and Leo from the L.A. Steel Show.
Yeah, listen, give us a call at 646-915-9505 when you can. I'll keep trying you on
this
one.
Why don't you repeat that a little slower?
646-915-9505. Just give us a call, Larry. For some reason, we can't get you. Might be out of range. I don't know.
Yeah.
But we'll keep trying. Okay. In the meantime,
we'll give it a few minutes and call him again.
Yeah. And we're going to cancel that call. And what I wanted to do is we're going to go back to our stuff here.
If you are satisfied with your message, press 1 to listen to your message.
Let's go back to this next. Amazing. Okay. What'd you think? You want to see the 20 examples of Obama?
Yeah.
Administration assault on domestic civil liberties.
Yeah, that was pretty unnerving to me.
Okay. I also have another one here that's very frightening. It's Fukushima now radiating everybody unspeakable reality.
Oh, that was a horrible one.
Will impact all humanity.
Let's go to the 20 reasons there.
That one is a little shorter to read, probably.
Examples of the Obama administration's assault on domestic civil liberties. The Obama administration has affirmed, continued, and expanded almost all of the draconian domestic civil liberties intrusions pioneered under the Bush administration. Here are 20 examples of serious assaults on the domestic rights to freedom, assaults on the domestic rights to freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, freedom of association, the right to privacy, the right to a fair trial, freedom of religion, and freedom of conscience that have occurred since the Obama administration assumed power. Consider these and then decide if there is any fundamental difference between the Bush presidency and the Obama presidency in the area of domestic civil rights.
And we're gonna go to Larry just called in, so
yeah,
here we go.
Yeah, I think I can get him.
I got him. Okay. Hello, Larry.
Hey guys,
hello,
how
Larry.
Are you?
How are you?
We're fine. Good. Hi, Larry. How are you doing? You're on the road, huh?
Yeah, we were at the. Sorry, I didn't get the call right away, but we participated in the Occupy New Haven /AFSCME/Unite Here. Rally. So we had a few thousand people marching on the streets tonight to demand jobs and end all the violence in New Haven and opportunities for youth. So it was a nice mixture of the people who've been part of the Occupy movements as well as, you know, labor folks, community, and students.
Oh, excellent. Because I know New Haven's having a really rough time. So maybe
32 homicides. We marched on the streets outside, obviously, but we gathered at City Hall, and a young woman, a New Haven student who had probably 16 or 17, was talking about actually losing a family member, witnessed a family member getting shot, you know, in the last year. It was very, very moving, and she supports the Occupy movements, and so that was kind of it was really good to see a lot of young people, because I think that's what we all need if we're going to change the face of things.
That would be great. Was the mayor there? Did he participate?
No, but he said he supported it, and the idea here was not to have, quite frankly, not to have politicians anyway. And so he stayed in his bunker, and we marched on Yale. And, you know, one thing that's interesting, and, you know, maybe it's a hopeful anecdote if I could, is earlier in the year, we've been having so many difficulties in New Haven getting support for public services and for our workers in New Haven, and we had a press conference in front of Yale. Basically, New Haven gave away a section of a busy thoroughfare to Yale on a bargain basement giveaway, and we've been demanding that Yale re-up, that if New Haven's going to re-up this kind of giveaway agreement, that Yale needs to pay more. And, you know, Mayor DeStefano was opposed to it. Yale obviously was opposed to it, even though they're putting in billions of dollars in assets. And now that we have a new labor-supported board of aldermen in New Haven, we've knocked off a lot of the mayor's allies. And they're actually now, the board of aldermen is saying, if there's going to be a renewal of any lease agreements with Yale, Yale needs to come up with more money to help, you know, refund services, education programs for kids. So, you know, there is hope, and that shows you what happens when you people put their heads together and get politically active, get active in their communities. And so that's, you know, it's all to the better.
And publicize some of these inequities that people really don't know about. And once they do know about it, then they can do something. That's great, Larry.
There's two things I wanted to ask, since you're in New Haven. We haven't heard of anything about the service worker strike down there that we're constantly hearing about against Yale over the years. Now, we haven't heard anything on them for a couple of years now. Whatever happened down there?
Well, you know, that's interesting. Many of the participants tonight are members of Unite Here unions, which represent Yale clerical, technical, and maintenance workers. They are at the tail end, I believe, of their collective bargaining agreement. So I believe they're actually gearing up, and I don't want to be improper of me, or, you know, I'd be saying something that's not accurate, but it's pretty clear that we, you know, that these negotiations with Yale are going to be very contentious. Yale does not have a great history, obviously, as you know, of labor relations and of respecting its employees and their unions. So,
they're the 1%. Yeah, they represent the 1%.
Well, that's it. I mean, that was, you know, that's where we walked by this place called the Graduate Club, where, you know, nobody can walk in. You have to get special entry. And, you know, I think we were on the turf of the 1% tonight, so.
Jeez. Got close to it, huh, Larry?
Yeah. They wouldn't feed me. They wouldn't feed me.
What happened to the Red Cross strike? How did that turn out? How is that? Is that still on?
Yeah, you know, it was interesting. It was like any strike, a mixed blessing, and I appreciate your asking. We had a 10-day strike that was suspended late last month after we reached a tentative agreement. Then our members did ratify that agreement at a 3-1 margin. When I say it's bittersweet, you know, part of the bitter includes the fact that the Red Cross extracted significant, painful concessions on health and pension that they've been doing around the country. And so I think that, you know, it's good news that our members are going back to work. Most of them are back at work. Many of them still have to return in January because the employer's been kind of protracting that return. You know, the Red Cross, the supposedly humanitarian organization, has been, no pun intended, bleeding its workers dry.
Wow.
And, you know, the Red Cross is a manufacturer of blood, as we've discussed. They collect it, they sell it, you know, they collect it, process, sell it. But then they tell the press and the public that they're humanitarian, and quite frankly, they're not. And that's why I say there's a lot of bitter to go along with the sweet. But, you know, a strike is a difficult thing to pull off these days, in these days of the diminished, you know, labor movement. And I think that our members felt in the end it was just best to kind of move on and, you know, take a tentative agreement, vote on it, get back to work, and live to fight another day.
Oh, boy. Well, I'm glad they were able to get back to work if that's what they wanted to do. I am really sorry that it was so painful for them. That they had to give up things that they, I'm sure, were entitled to.
Well, you know, I don't mind admitting this to you and your audience. I mean, these are difficult days, as you guys constantly talk about. And, you know, I appreciate your perspective because it is a broader, different perspective than we get on the mainstream media. 30 or 40 years ago, you would have seen a lot more people out in support of the picket line, in support of our workers.
Yeah.
And we're just living in this different age where, you know, union membership has deteriorated because of these trade deals and, offshoring and anti-labor policies. So a strike is, you know, not the same tool that I think it was, you know, many years ago when, you know, one out of every three American worker had a union car. And it really raises a lot of troubling issues for not just our movement, but for all working people. Because, if, again, you know, and I know you guys agree, if they can take away health care and pension from middle and lower middle class Red Cross blood collection workers or government workers, they can take it away from anybody.
Sure.
Well, it's no different than the they're having problems like this in Europe right now. They've made big riots and
big austerity measures.
And big strike that they had supposedly the other day, which had
right.
very, very little news coverage at all on. So, you know, I think what upsets me so much, and that's why we continue this show, is that nobody's saying any. I mean, it's like you don't hear anything of any on the news anymore. You just, on the mainstream, it's just a total propaganda machine, you know. You don't hear it.
I need to bring you to my union membership meetings because I'm often kind of arguing with our members who will get on my case about why aren't we in the media more? Why aren't you defending us better? And, you know, and I try to tell them, you know, I'm dealing with corporate-owned media who don't want to cover the labor movement. They don't want to cover working people issues. You know, it's just a different ballgame out there, and it's you guys get it.
Well, I would be happy anytime to go down to go to one of your meetings and talk about activist radio and what we've been doing for 10 years. And I think, and maybe give people some kind of, I don't know, idea of what it's like to do this.
Right.
And,
it's not easy to go out and get coverage, as you guys know. That's why I assume you're doing what you're doing.
That's
well,
we're
about to break 100,000 listeners, which is really exciting to me, and for this internet program, and I mean in thousands. I mean we got almost 600 programs that we put on the air, just on the internet programs, and we're still getting hundreds of listeners, thousands of listeners to every show, and it's just wonderful, It's taken a long time to do that, and we've seen a tremendous amount of changes in the last. We just celebrated our fifth year on the internet last month.
Wow.
And, and that was amazing, and we've had 8 years on FM radio, and 11 years now that we've been involved with television, radio, and the internet, and it's just been. It's been a long and a remarkable ride because the technology has changed so much and the market has changed so much. But more so than that, I think we've been able to ride this this wave of this movement
really?
That's happening to finally see this. I mean, we would have loved to see this Occupy Wall Street 10 years ago. We couldn't even get it. We could get is a few 100,000 people down in Washington, D.C., nationally to go against the wars, you know.
I apologize for bringing it back to the Red Cross workers, but, you know, they were frustrated, not necessarily with me, but on the picket line. You know, our members we had regular emergency membership meetings throughout the strike to keep the members briefed on what was going on. And, you know, they would say, how come the press isn't coming out? Why aren't they covering it? And that just gets back to what you said, that, you know, you can't find this stuff in, you know, the corporate-owned media doesn't want to cover it.
That's right. That's exactly true. Give us a little update on what's happening in Wisconsin. And AFSCME is very involved there in the recall.
Right. Right. We are. There is a recall petition going around the big state of Wisconsin, obviously directed against the anti-worker governor, Scott Walker. They have not reached the requisite number of signatures yet, and there's a concerted campaign to suppress signature collection, for example. They're trying to prevent the college students from signing the petition, even though they're, you know, temporarily living there. Many of them actually are residents of Wisconsin through the state system. So it's going to take a little more time to play out. And, you know, if we can get the correct number, the proper number of signatures, then there would be a recall election of a governor who, quite frankly, manufactured or took advantage of the economic crisis to overstep his boundaries and strip workers of major collective bargaining rights. So we were on, our national president was on MSNBC Friday night talking about that, and really appreciate the fact that at least, you know, the Ed Schultz show on MSNBC is one of those outposts, at least, that presents a more balanced, you know, kind of worker viewpoint. So he was on the Lee Saunders, our national secretary treasurer, was on the Ed Schultz show talking about that. But, you know, there's still work to do. There's still signatures to collect, and the Republicans are trying to do what they're doing in other states, which is basically suppress voters turnout.
Now, how many signatures do you need for that, Larry?
I believe they need 350,000.
Wow.
And I don't know where they're at numerically right now.
I thought they had collected 300,000.
I'm sorry,
Friday.
They collected 300,000.
They needed another 250, I think. They think they have 500,000.
Yeah, they've got to get, I apologize, you're right, they've got to get to 500,000, and they're about 60% there, 65% there.
Do you remember when the deadline was, though? Well, it was only
it's coming soon. Yeah, it's coming soon. I don't have. I apologize. I don't have the exact date.
That's okay. I was just very curious. I saw that. I saw that MSNBC report, and I was glad to see the president there on it. They asked me president, and see that kind of activity. How do you fare? What are you guys doing right now as far as gearing up for the elections? Of course, you're going to be Obama supporting, but
yeah, I figured you would ask that. No, and I just I was listening to the tail end of your discussion of the Homeland Security and terrorism, you know, suppression stuff. But we actually just were, a bunch of us went out to grab a quick burger and beer dinner after the rally, and you know, we're trying to figure out the ways we're going to reach our members in 2012. There's, you know, there's a lot of fatigue, quite frankly, among our members, because they've been getting beaten up. They've been making dramatic, being forced to make dramatic economic concessions at the bargaining table. They don't trust politicians from either party, quite frankly. Although, frighteningly, you know, I think the Tea Party message appeals to many working class people. So this is going to be a really interesting, challenging, fascinating electoral year. And, you know, we always say this election cycle is the most critical, and, you know, here we are again. But, you know, we're going to mean it. And whether it's the Republicans, the prospect of the Republicans taking over the White House or taking control of the Congress in Connecticut, we got our challenges cut out for us. And I think people, Delilah, you know this, and Leo, you know this, living where you do, a lot of the people we represent, you know, aren't hearing, you know, may not be hearing our message. It's getting drowned out by much more powerful and noisy forces.
Yeah. Larry, you said that some of our union members, the Tea Party message appeals to them. Why do you think that is? And really, it's counter to what is really good for them.
It is good. You hit it on the head. It is counterintuitive. I think that the, you know, kind of the fiscal conservatism piece is legitimately appealing to many union members who have kind of been, again, you know, like the rest of the public, you know, they're getting 24/7 reports of government being inept and a failure. You know, now they're reading about the post office, you know, one of the last great bastions of middle class employment, reading about the failure of the post office. So I think that the idea here is that, you know, that the Tea Parties are, even though they're controlled by the Koch brothers and all the Republican power brokers, they're espousing this message of individual freedom and fiscal restraint that people find appealing. And I think, quite frankly, we're going to have to find a way to bridge the gap to those members of ours who do see that, because, you know, we've got to do a better job of exposing the fact that these guys hate unions.
Right, and hate anybody that's not in the 1%.
Exactly. And you're right. When you use that word, when you just use that phrase that is counter to our interests, I mean, they're essentially, the Tea Party is being co-opted by the 1%. You know, and it would be laughable if it weren't so harmful to the political and economic fabric.
Oh, I know it.
Well, there's the sudden surge of Newt Gingrich to in Iowa. It's just kind of like, you know. I mean, none of them are. I don't know. None of them make much sense to me. But Newt Gingrich, of all people, is the. We just ran a quick clip tonight on Newt Gingrich and the serial hypocrisy is the name of it.
Oh,
right.
I was so glad to see him leave when he left.
Well, he was forced
speaker out of the house when he was forced out. I thought, oh, he's gone. But geez, some of these you just can't get rid of.
You know, Trump is back in with his lunacy, and, you know, it's like no sooner do we have Kane, who thinks it's acceptable to grope women as a condition of, you know, getting a job. He drops out, and then we're hearing from Trump, who's, you know, trashing Ron Paul to help Newt Gingrich. So, you know, the only good
news he's trashing
that,
Paul because Paul refused to be on his show.
Right.
Paul absolutely outright insulted Trump and saying that he wouldn't make his campaign it's enough of a carnival act with the Republican debates as it is. But he didn't want to make it a reality show.
I don't blame him.
And he thought it was a total insult to the process. But you know,
I mean, the only thing you can hope is that the Republicans continue turning themselves into this kind of carnival act of the fringe. Obama's lucky to the extent that I think, you know, he's got a bunch of these, you know, carnies, you know, running for office, and that's going to help him.
Well, I can't believe in this economy and what people have seen in the tremendous amount of disclosure that's happened recently with the insider trading of the Congress and all of these kind of things. I just heard tonight that they had a 9% approval rating. All of Congress, government, 9% approval rating in a recent poll. All right?
Jeez.
So it's like, and you got to wonder who the 9% are that still approve of it. But,
yeah, right.
And who are they? But it's like, I can't understand this. I just can't understand the thought process of people supporting Gingrich or Kane or any of these crazies. There's still people out there loving Bachman.
I'm sure the sample that they poll is made up of their friends and relatives. I'm quite sure it has to be.
Clearly, you know, I think that, as you know, what's going on here, obviously, is that this is about the 1% lording it over the 99%. They've co-opted, you know, and they've been smart about it. They have co-opted people whose very interests they're trying to destroy in the hopes of getting the Romneys and the Gingriches of the world elected, in the hopes of running through horrific anti-worker, anti-civil rights, anti-voter rights legislation. You know, a lot of bad things are happening in this country, and as you talked about, thankfully, on your show many times, this whole Wall Street bailout and the fact that nobody has gone to jail.
No.
You know, nobody's even been brought to trial. You know, this is just a mockery. These are the guys that brought the economy down, and they've emerged unscathed, and that's really alarming. And
Obama doesn't be able to even give the middle class any kind of break.
Unless it's coupled with, you know, more cuts in programs, which is, you know, for veterans, for elderly people, and for health care for kids. You know, this is crazy stuff that's going on.
Well, I mean, when you hear this group of people talk, from Kane to Gingrich to Bachman, I mean, they say horrible things and nobody seems to be outraged. I mean, for God's sake, Newt Gingrich wants to have, it seems like he wants to repeal all of the child labor laws.
Yeah,
I
right.
mean, that's, he's
yep.
going
that,
in.
That video is up on our website and the Ask Me website where he basically, like you said, you know, he said, you know, let's get kids to do the janitor and secretary schools.
I imagine.
And the kids should go to work because they're not learning anything in school.
Right, because
just,
the teachers are overpaid, and, you know.
Right, but that's just poor kids. I guess rich kids can go to school.
Yeah, and to put a 12-year-old kid, 12, 13-year-old kid, as a full-time janitor, you know, that would be great.
You know, like you said, though, where is the outrage when these morons utter these inane and disgusting statements? You know, if it weren't for our union, if it weren't for a bunch of unions focusing
no,
on English, I'm not sure people would know.
We got a caller that might want to talk to you here. You willing to take a few questions?
Sure. The only thing I'm going to tell you is because I'm driving from New Haven, if I lose you, it's because I'll call you right back.
Let's see who this person is.
Yeah. Hang on a second. Hey, 111, would you like to say something?
Sure. My name is Slahuddin. I didn't know I was in the queue. But, the statements you make about, you know, why is there no hue and cry, why is there no outrage in our culture among many of the citizens, why do they follow the Newt Gingriches, the Glenn Becks, the Sean Hannitys, the Bill O'Reillys? I think it has a lot to do, again, looking at our culture. You know, there are some statement within every institution or society that sees its own destruction. I think it's, you know, reflecting on there are some deep flaws, pathologies in our culture. We have a lot of these courtiers of the right of the corporation, such as the Rush Limbaughs. You know, they use an ad hominem approach. They appeal to people's prejudices and. There are certain scapegoats in our society, and usually that's how the people
are. Do you have
a
question? I guess we have a guest from the Assam Union.
No,
I
don't have a question. I just wanted to comment. I mean, I thought that I was going to comment a question. I really don't have a question, though. I mean, I just have
that's okay, but it's a thoughtful, I appreciate the thoughtful comment. I can't disagree with you.
Well, yeah, I actually didn't finish the comment. I just, you know, basically, you know, very quickly. You know, this is a very deep issue, and I know you addressed it, but this is, you know, we asked that very large question, why people vote against their own interests. I mean, people like Tim Wise and Dr. Chip Smith and, you know, people who've addressed it, why are we in this situation? And I think perhaps to discuss it and explicate that would be a very good show, I think. I think that would be, you know, to really explore why this is happening, because why are we so complicit in our own demise? That's a very, very topic. It's much deeper, I think, than perhaps we really believe.
That's an excellent idea, and we certainly will keep that in mind. I think that we take a little preparation to be ready for a show like that. But we thank you for your comments.
Yeah, thanks
thank
so
you.
Much.
Thanks so much.
You can hang on. Larry, I was just curious. What do you got any more demonstrations coming in? Or?
This has been quite a year. I think, you know, we are in a planning period right now. We're going to have quite a big year ahead of us, and I think hopefully we're all just going to try to retrench a little bit in the remaining 2-3 weeks of December. One thing that I think you'll be happy to know we're doing in the way of demonstrations, and I should give credit to the AFL-CIO, and people should go to the AFL-CIO.org website for more information, because this is happening around the country. But on December 8th, there are labor-led vigils, labor and unemployed vigils to make sure that unemployment insurance is renewed, because that's also at risk. And so we're going to be doing a vigil in front of your pal Joe Lieberman's office in Hartford.
All right.
I hope you get a big turnout.
Well, I don't know that we will. It's 5 o'clock Friday, but we'll have bodies. And I really urge Not a fight for unemployment insurance. Saying for people to work and stop encouraging them.
That's another thing I hear they're planning to cut that now. Are they going to renew any of that, or they're going to lose another, I don't know, million people or something?
Well, that's the thing is that, you know, millions and millions of Americans want to work. Their unemployment benefits actually have expired, and so now they're not even counted. And I just read an article that I had sent in my quips about veterans returning. You know, we've got like 40,000 veterans coming back, and there's no jobs for them, and we're adding them to an already underemployed population. So, you know, unemployment insurance is a safety net that we've had for, you know, since the Great Depression, and the Republicans, you know, they smell blood. They want to get rid of it. So that's why we're doing the vigil at Lieberman's office, and, you know, that's why these elections do matter, because we'll lose these valuable programs if we don't stand up and fight.
And that's very important to get the word out so that people do vote and that people do fight for what we need to have. And we really appreciate, Larry, that you've come on tonight. I know you're in your car and you're on your way home.
This was great. Love talking with you guys.
Well, we just want to say we appreciate you you're out there. And when is that Lieberman thing going to be?
December 8th, which is this Thursday, 5 o'clock at 1 Constitution Plaza in Hartford, Connecticut. And it's you can go to AFLCIO.org. They have all the actions going on around the country, but they're all happening on December 8th. And I'll have it posted up on our website, council4.org, tomorrow. So.
Good. Well, we're just to go to that and have a look and see what's going on, and maybe they'll participate in some of these things that are happening out there in our state.
Good.
It's very important.
And again, we'd be more than happy to help you out any way we can.
Yeah, well, I'll talk to you about that. I think that would be fun, and I think it would be educational for some of our members to hear how, instead of sitting by and accepting it, you've taken action and done something, and I'm proud of you guys for that.
Thank you.
We're very proud of you guys, too. So thanks so much, Larry, and let you go. But
we'll be talking to you again soon.
Yeah.
All right. Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Larry. That was Larry Dorman talking to us in his car, folks.
Yeah.
He was on his way back from New Haven. Always the activist and getting involved, which is really good. He helps organize a lot of these things for the union. And gets out there and talks to people about what's happening. And you can see anything that you need to on council4.org. It'll tell you about any strikes that are coming up, any speakers, or anything that you might be interested in as far as union news goes locally.
Right. And our next guest is John Brennan. And I don't know if he's going to be able to call us tonight. If not, I'm going to try him right now.
He's on his way back from New York.
Yeah, I just finished with a chemtrail seminar, public hearing, and he was going to fill us in on what happened there tonight. So
I think he was out on Long Island.
Yeah, he was coming back on a ferry about 2 hours ago, so hoping that he'll be there. So let's try John Brennan. See if he's. Oh, he's dialing him now.
See if we can get him.
We're trying.
Was he on the ferry actually when he called?
Yeah, he was on when he called.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 860307-2121 is not available. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Hey, John, it's Lila and Leo.
We just want to, give us a call at 646-915-9505 when you get this message. I know it's your cell phone that we're talking to here, but hopefully you made it back in time.
Why don't you give him that number again?
Again, the number is 646-915-9505. So wait your call. Thanks. And so John Brennan is supposed to be on shortly. Hopefully he got back in time.
and he'll be back. He'll give us a call. Let's see. Again, we want to thank Larry Dorman for being on tonight. That was a good interview, and he's always a great.
We could play have a little music break right now.
Yeah, and we'll do that. And what I'd like to do when we come back is I'd like to. I've got another couple of major articles I'd like to hear.
To share.
And I've got a specific video that I think is very, very, very important.
What one was that?
This is one down here. It's right here. Alex Jones.
Oh, yeah.
Senate wants martial law in America.
I was very concerned about that.
It's a good video.
Why don't we play that now and then... we could go to a music break because I'd like some folks to hear this.
Okay. I just was, I would too, but I was just thinking, okay. It's 14 minutes long. I don't know if John's going to call it or not.
Well, we'll see.
But.
It's a good one.
Yeah, it is a good one. And, hang on one second. I just want to see if somebody. Right. This is an important one. There is a bill in the U.S. Senate called the National Defense Authorization Act, and it could be voted on as early as this week. And this bill gives the president the ability to detain any American citizen anywhere, all right, in our country.
Well, let's begin this afternoon with something U.S. lawmakers are cooking up as we speak. It's a bill in the U.S. Senate called the National Defense Authorization Act and may be voted on as soon as tomorrow. But with most bills, it is chock full of flowery language about protecting the homeland and giving the military the tools they need to do their job. But the bill also does something unprecedented. It gives the president, this one and the next ones, the authority to indefinitely imprison people without charge or trial, both in other countries and here in the United States.
I don't like that.
But don't take my word for it. Take a look at this. Here is text of the Senate bill. 1867, Congress affirms that the authority of the president to use all necessary and appropriate force pursuant to the authorization for use of military force include the authority of the armed forces of the United States to detain covered persons pending disposition under the law of war. All right, not exactly simple language here. So why don't I play something for you from one of the bill's backers, Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina. This is what he said on the Senate floor
a few weeks ago.
This is
1032, the military custody provision, which has waivers and a lot of flexibility, doesn't apply to American citizens. 1031, the statement of authority to detain, does apply to American citizens, and it designates the world as the battlefield, including the homeland.
The battlefield, says Senator Graham, is right here in your front yard and mine.
We're going to go,
I'd like
to finish that if we have time, but if not, we'll do that tomorrow night.
Okay.
But here's, I'm going to bring John back, John on. One second here. All right.
Good evening, John.
Joe, after just returning from the, I guess you'd call it a legislative meeting, conference, it turned into many different things, at the Suffolk County, New York hearing for the proposal to ban spraying of chemtrails and other geoengineering operations. Suffolk County is in Long Island, New York, up near Montauk, and a friend of mine, Sandy Boetti, we took the ferry across today. We decided to find out what exactly was going to happen there, just like 100 other people at least turned up.
There was a big crowd there?
A very big crowd and excellent speakers. No punk-type people. Everybody turned up, really well-dressed. Pauline Cantwell, who spoke at the United Nations, was there. Two very nice-looking ladies from the Long Island Sky Watch, a gentleman who got up and speak. I don't recall his name. There was too much going on to even get time to get all the notes really made because we barely got there in time and got back on time at the ferry to get back to Connecticut. So it was kind of a very long drive for us. So then it was at least 2 hours of people speaking to the legislator.
Wow.
They were pretty flabbergasted at the extent of the speeches that went on. Well, the proposal basically is to stop these chemtrail sprayings. And if the proposal becomes law in Suffolk Island, Suffolk County, Long Island, it would be the first in the nation. And it would be a great starting point for others to follow. And eventually our governments around the world would have to investigate why our trees are dying in record numbers and why our waters are being found to contain very high toxic levels of chemicals like aluminum, barium, strontium, and why 90% of us are vitamin D deficient due to probably drops in sunlight. As we know, the chemicals that are put out of these planes are causing artificial cloud cover, thus reducing the amount of light coming into the area. And the local people were there, some of them artists, said that, you know, they had noticed the beautiful light that used to be from morning till evening. It's just not there. They're getting 5-6 days of dark overcast, similar to what we had in Connecticut today. If you're listening in Connecticut, it's been extremely overcast and cloudy, almost like 5 o'clock in the evening, sort of, would be on a rainy day all day long. The cloud cover never lifted. I did manage to just get some audio on my camera, and I've queued it up as best I can in the short time, and I've literally just got in the door. The audio is not great. I believe I'll be speaking in about two or three minutes after you hear the first speaker. I do not have a way to separate them. Do you want me to run the audio, and if it is not coming out clear, we'll abandon it?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, so this first gentleman who's speaking here, I have no idea, but I was the second last, and this gentleman you're going to be here was the third last person to speak out of approximately 100 people, just concerned citizens.
He had 100 people speaking?
We all got up. When you went in there, you were, if you wanted to say something to this committee, it's like a board of judges, it's almost like a courthouse. You took a green card off the table and you signed up to say something. I didn't know it at the time, but every single person stood up and said something.
Did anybody have did anybody show any video or show any?
Oh, they wouldn't even allow us to show any. At one point, some people had some posters up in the background, and they told us that was not allowed. It was pretty. The applause was extraordinary with some of the speakers. When I looked around, at one point, somebody nudged me. 5 police officers were brought into the back in case we might turn into a riotous group, which was extraordinary. But that's how America is going now. You can pretty much have your cameras confiscated for anything. They decide there's something.
I was going to send this over to you today. I just read it. Some guy got 75 years.
Yes, I saw the whole video. It's in Illinois. 75 years. It's considered a crime equal to rape to have your video running while police are doing their so-called legal operations. So if they're beating somebody up, acting outside their constitutional duties, you video them, you can go to jail, folks, for 75 years. That's the new USSA you live in. And it's changed.
That's 75 years based on 5 counts. So I think it was like 15 years per count. Right.
Yeah, it is amazing what they're getting away with. I think I did send you a video of some other people that had a congressman give a talk in their town hall. They were just ordinary elderly ladies in their like late 60s holding up video cameras, and they had the security people remove the cameras from them in case they might be bombs or something. It's absolutely ridiculous.
It's insane, isn't it?
Like they're searching the 85-year-old lady at the airport for having bombs in her underwear or something. This is just ridiculous what's going on.
That one was terrible, that 85-year-old woman. But anyway, play those.
Play that audio, John.
That's a little run now for this guy was quite short in his speech, so I'm hoping my one was pretty brief as well. So I'm going to run it, and let's just see how the audio goes.
Okay.
It's loading up right now. I'm just trying to – camera is a little.
Very first line out the group in this country. All my scientists that live right here in Suffolk County, possible neighbors of yours, and they came forward and they said to the council here, the legislature, listen, there's something wrong with DDT. There's something wrong with the spraying of DDT. And not only those mosquitoes get killed, but you're killing just about everything else. It got in the water, it got into the air, it has a long half-life, you couldn't get rid of it. There are questions whether or not it causes cancer, and it's by no means that possibly it's linked to breast cancer, which...
The point this gentleman is making is that 20 or 30 years ago, the same legislative group, city, banned DDT, so he's asking them to do the same.
DDT was banned from the United States entirely. Entirely, gone. Within several years, the Nixon administration, following what took place right here at Riverhead, formed the Environmental Protection Agency, the very first body of its kind to monitor the safety of our environment, the very first of its kind. In 1970, the Clean Air Act, followed by the Clean Water Act, enormous legislative moves for the protection of people by their representatives. What they're asking, what everybody's asking, is that ask yourself the question. We all share the same air, we drink the same waters, we walk the same streets, parks, go boating, play tennis, whatever, we live here together. Possibly right here, you, the representatives today, in 2011, 2012, if you can make that same historic movement that will move right to the national level, the White House.
Okay, I'm up to speak right now. I'll be on one moment. You'll hear me speak.
Okay.
Go ahead. I believe I've heard these ads on the radio of late. See something, say something.
You probably couldn't hear that. The audio isn't that good. But what I had said was many of us have heard ads on the radio lately saying, see something, say something. Well, many of us here at the meeting today are here because we've seen something, and it's about darn time we said something. That was my first statement, so I'll just...
Over
30
years, I've come from Ireland, the voice of my community. Not just over your county, it's over the entire globe. Something is going on. In the farmhouse in Ireland where I live, no airports for hundreds of miles, it's not exactly, you know,
As you probably can't hear what I said because it's so far away from the camera that was picking up the audio. I said, where I lived in Ireland, there's no major airports on a par with what you'd have in the United States, yet we still have the same type of chemtrail spraying over the small island, which is two or three airports, which in international level are really quite small airports. So.
A big airplane from a little tiny island. Just as many operations going on over there as there is right over on Island. I'm down from Connecticut, and it's crazy up there, too. The trees are all dying, the spruces. It's absolutely absurd. Now, the question I kind of had is, if you propose a ban, and I hope you will, a ban on the weather altering chemicals, how do you propose to enforce the law? Because remember, in the aftermath of September 11th, 9/11, in which aircraft are used as a weapon. We saw what can happen. We all need to be more observant of our skies. Altering our local climate with chemical cloud seeding, etc., without our consent, is an act of biowarfare. Future generations will depend on you making a decision here to ban the spray. On the streets, we have police that patrol it to make sure we don't go speeding. We have OSHA on the work site. We have, we've got all sorts of agencies. But who's going to control these planes if it's a black op? Who knows where it's funded from? And it appears it is. It may be not American, it's internationally funded. We have to consider that. And you've got a lot of evidence to see tonight. You can look through what we've given you here. Can you incorporate, perhaps, in your ban proposal, an in-flight intercept based by whatever agency to take down for examination of these aircraft?
Yeah. Yes!
Somebody has to start doing this.
But even if special agents, which I would like you to also have civilian non-religious agencies involved with them. We need to basically get some agencies that can short of shooting them down to do something else. Urgent. In fact, if necessary, and they're on our aircraft.
People definitely light up it.
Events of 9/11, 2001. Aircraft were used as a weapon on this country. It's happening again.
I know. I'm sure the audio is pretty hard to hear. Is it? Is it really bad on your side?
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't that bad, John. We heard it.
Yeah.
But I'm proud of you for standing up there and doing that. And you know,
takes a lot of courage. Good job, John.
How many people?
With some great speakers. I mean, there really was. My thing was basically to say, look, if you're going to have this proposed ban, and I hope you will, ladies and gentlemen of the committee up there, you'll need to consider how you're going to enforce the ban on these what can be, I suppose, considered black ops. We really don't know if they're funded by the United Nations, just the United States of America, or corporations, whoever. We need to find out, though. And if you guys... Well, if you guys are going to ban them, you're going to have somebody like, if the police enforce the road laws, the Coast Guard, the sea, OSHA, DEP do their job on our, on our work sites and on our environmental agencies, we would then, when you think about it, have to have an agency, whether it's the Coast Guard, that has the power, once they see something, say something, somebody says there's planes up there, we want that plane identified immediately and taken out of the airspace for examination. Take it right down. I said this. Take the plane down and strip it down to the toilets. Pull out the tubes, the wiring. Pull the tires off it. If you find something, you've got to get to the bottom of this. It's going on, and it's going to have to take that kind of level of, you know, they interrogate us at the airports for having weapons on us. It's time that some of the other people who own the airplanes get the same treatment for our safety as well. And the crowd liked that. I said, if it takes shooting them down, well, so be it. Maybe you have the Coast Guard shoot them down. And people, that's why you heard the shoot them down, because, you know, I mean, I don't think we mean it literally, but get them out of the sky for examination.
Buddy, John, I don't think there's anybody who's seen those damn things going over their head that didn't wish they had something to shoot them down with.
I know. So
you know?
I mean, I went out on a limb to say something like that. You know, and I might not have literally meant it, you know, but I mean, they've got it. We're getting frustrated with this whole thing going nowhere, and it's going to take something, you know, like this group of legislative people in Suffolk County passing a ban that can go nationwide eventually. Once one group do it, it will light a fire under the whole issue like it did under the DDT issue back in the 70s.
Oh, absolutely. I think you got something there, John. I was really happy to see them do this.
Also, the footage you heard on my little tiny camera here was not very good. There was several large professional-style tripod-mounted cameras in the auditorium or in the legislative halls, whatever you would like to call it. They will probably have a full 2-hour documented video of all the speeches. And I'm kind of hoping they'll be put up on Long Island Skywatch. And if they are, either that or I'll get copies through the people from Long Island Skywatch that I met today and play it in a little better detail, maybe on the show another occasion. But it was really great to see and meet all the people who are dedicated and getting more dedicated by the hour to resolving and finding out who's responsible for the chemical spraying of our skies and causing the very odd weather anomalies that, you know, it isn't God that's causing the weather. It's not the Mayan calendar. The people are manipulating the weather using the HAARP systems, and when you alter clouds, you alter the pressure, and it's like a Rubik's cube. You start tampering with it, you're causing major inadvertent affects all across the planet because you're taking the water from one place and putting it in another where it shouldn't be. You're putting the planet out of sync, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So this would be one way of finally getting the red light to glow in a big way so that the public can come out of its absolute denial or stupor, whatever you want to call it.
My question is, how did they get these guys to hold a hearing?
It was one of the people on the board, the legislative board, actually proposed it.
Oh.
We got lucky, you might say.
So you had a sympathizer on the board.
Yeah. Boy, did we give him some good backup. So he must be going home really happy. And I hope he has a bulletproof vest because he's the type of people that they like to take out.
Let me ask, did you make any contacts while you were down there?
I did. I've got a whole list of people, but the people from Long Island Skywatch, Cindy, I can't pronounce her name, Palunkas, and some other people. I'll try and have her. I did mention that about having them on your show some evening.
That would be nice.
That'd be great.
We'd enjoy that.
We'd look forward to that.
But anyway, I'm glad that you I'm glad you got there and got back safely, and I had a hell of a good turnout.
It was absolutely fabulous. I mean, some of the speeches were, we all had 5 minutes. Mine was a little under. Some of them were just absolutely beautiful. One lady stood up there, very soft voice at the beginning, and by the time she was done, she had turned into I wouldn't say a raging bull voice-wise, but she had just such fabulous things to tell those people who were up there kind of giggling. At one point, actually, I meant to tell you this. At one point, a guy from Hartford, he said he had 6 kids, and he said, that's kind of a strange thing these days, he said, but I'm worried about my kids. I've seen this stuff being sprayed. I want something done about it. And he was about a minute and a half into his little citation, and he noticed that some of the people were really not paying attention up there, and he stopped, and he basically said, well, it appears you people really don't care. You're smirking. You're talking among yourselves. You're in attention. He told them, get it together. You're our representatives. And boy, did they pull the chairs in quick. And I tell you what, after that, they started to smarten up and listen. He told them off big time. He got a huge cheer when he did. They knew they were dealing with a crowd that wasn't going to sit back and be laughed at by these people who, probably thought some of us are just a bunch of conspiracy kooks. But by the time they were done today, they were educated very well. We had attorneys stood up there. We had attorneys. We had environmental people. We had meteorologists. Just a whole list of people got up there and gave great speeches.
Hopefully you get a copy of that tape, and it'll be great to see. Post that. If you need it, I could post it on YouTube if they don't, or repost it on as many places as I can.
Yeah, I'm hopefully they'll get it on some kind of disc or something, and it'll go on all the other websites. The one thing about it is it's probably some information there that's not so much for the new people to this subject who just found out about chemtrails. It's for the people who've been in the battle to stop it for over, say, at least 10 years or at least 8 years or 4 years, whatever, this is a way to use the knowledge that will be on the video from this particular hearing in your battles at your local level.
Absolutely.
It's a guide how you can put it together to give a presentation. There's never been anything like this.
Well, John, we just have a couple more minutes. Do you have any parting words to give our listeners?
Well, at this stage, I just have to say to people, if you want to find out more about the whole chemtrail issue, whether it's the legal stuff or if you want to just come up to speed again on the patents of what it's all about, some really good bunch of videos, ConnecticutSkyWatch.com. Is a local place to go, really, or New York Skywatch. They have radio shows from WBAI. There's always some very good stuff on there.
I would suggest California Skywatch, too.
California Spy Watch, Rosalind Peterson. Yep, that's right. There was a lot of her posters big today brought in.
Were they really? Yeah, great. But,
very large ones, copies of the ones I had. You've already seen the smaller ones?
But we're running out of our stream here in about 25 seconds. So
yeah,
I'm
pretty much as I can give you tonight on such short
notice. I look forward to talking about this next week and whatever else you got coming up. So stay tuned, folks, for Johnny next week. So thanks, John.
Okay, thank you, Leo, and thank you, Lila, for let me have the quick update here on such short time. I'm sorry about the poor audio, but...
It was fine, John. We're glad you could make it down there and report about it.
And thank you for sharing with all of us.
And we'll find out. I don't know how long it's going to take to find out whether they banned the proposal went through or not, a yay or a nay. It may take a week or two. I have no idea how long these people take to come to a decision in either way. But the minute I find out through Long Island Skywatch, I will let you know, or you can go there and check it yourself on a daily basis and find out.
Sounds good. All right, so that's .com, right? Is that .com?
LongIslandSkywatch.com should have the most important updates, I would think, because it's right under step Suffolk County.
Okay, right, thank you very much, John.
Thanks, John, for joining us, and have a good night, and we'll talk to you real soon.
That's great. Okay, thank you, folks.
Good night.
Buddy. All right. I want to thank everyone who joined us tonight, and I hope you enjoyed the show. John Brennan and
Larry Dorman.
And all the news that we brought to you. And please join us tomorrow night, same time, same place, at 8 o'clock, when we bring you some more news.
And good night, folks.
And we will continue with that report from on the martial law tomorrow.
Yep.
So good night, everybody. And
have a peaceful night.
Yeah.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Good night.